Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop-Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop-Eye Podcast. It is the Everton preview show. Can't fucking wait to get stuck into this after, was it 10 days now? So it's going to be 11 days or 12 days till the game from that game to this game to watch Liverpool play footy again. So it's been a long time. But before we get into it all, I'm Mick, as always, and I'm joined, as always, by Christian. Christian, you are going to be coming over very soon. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, like I said in the previous episodes, I'm very excited, so I'm looking forward to flying over on Friday morning very early. So going up to Stockholm on tomorrow with my brother staying the night and then coming over Friday. So I have a full weekend in Liverpool with a derby with you and, you know, going to pubs and all that. So can't wait. And, you know, I want to start as well, you know, to mention the horrible things that went on in Brussels with the two Swedish, football supporters who were shot dead, which took, You can say and tell from, you know, what I've read in, you know, Swedish media and all that, you know, it's just something that you never expect to happen, and it's horrible. And it actually took a little bit of, you know, on me about going, not scared of flying over to Liverpool, but, you know, football in general and, you know, what's important and stuff in life. So I had a little hard time, you know, when it happened and the day after, to just show, you know, feel, you know, looking forward to the weekend, because it just, you know, went straight to me, like, you know, it takes away something. But then obviously, you know, speaking a bit to you, speaking a bit to other friends, you know, talk to my brother, talk to people around me, you know, it's important to mention, you know, there's a big love for the sport, and you should not be scared to do whatever you like, and, you know, be because of, you know, these horrible events that are going on, because obviously that's what they want. But so now, actually, when it's been a few days and you can have another perspective, I'm really looking forward to come over, because in the end of the day, to be with friends and enjoy football is what it's all about. So I want to make it a great weekend together.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw that, like, just stuff going on in the world, and you, in a weird and horrible way, you become a bit, like, not immune to it, but, like, it's so common now, which is horrific, that you just, like, when's, like, this type of stuff going to end? Because it just seems like it happens, like, every day, like, there's stuff going on all the time. And yeah, it does affect you when you're seeing it all. Like, I try and not read, like, the news and stuff. I know that's probably, like, stupid of me, but, like, obviously when you get notifications off stuff and you do go onto news website, you see stuff like that, and it does, like, yeah, it is horrific. So, yeah, it's rest in peace to the two fans. It's, yeah, terrific. Yeah. And of course, the game was abandoned and stuff, so Yeah, like I'm just our hearts and thoughts go out to the families and stuff, and hopefully, they can. Yeah, I don't know. No words, is there really for it? But yeah, let's move on to some lighter stuff then, because I know people might be got pumped up for an Everton game, and we've done the sad stuff. So let's move on to like some happy memories of Everton and playing against them over the years. I think that might cheer us up a little bit, because we were talking a little bit before we started recording about like the goals we've scored against them and the happy memories and just piling the misery on them and whatever. And like, I was having a look before and I couldn't believe Origi and Fowler have both got 6 goals against them. Like, that seems mad. I know Origi was like their nemesis, but the fact that him and Fowler got the same amount of goals against them, and of course there's Gerrard got 10 and I think Rush got 25 against them, which is just, I mean, we were laughing before about Rush got 1, Rush got 2 and all that. He ended up scoring 25 against them over the years. But yeah, let's talk about your memories and maybe your favourite. I'm sure we've probably done this before, but it's always fun to do again. So like, your favourite goal or your favourite memory against Everton?
Well, there's so many, and there's so many great moments, in derbies. It's hard to only pick a few, but what comes to mind straight away, and which is one of, I wouldn't say early memories because obviously I'm a teenager by then, but with football on TV and the time and where you start to get into it properly, it's probably the McAllister free kick. That's one that you remember because you were in an age where yourself were playing football, and you were in that age where football started to become really important to you, and you were knowing everything about Liverpool and reading everything and all that. So that comes to mind. And obviously the Gerrard hat trick is very close to heart as well. Got a few, I think Suarez away as well. Now obviously we play at home, but that's a derby. I remember that because I was there. There's just so many. And obviously we got the Origi, that goal where the bounces of the bar and all that kind of stuff. There's so many, but it's just great memories because it always turns out to be something special when we do it. Like, sometimes obviously we know it's been like a draw, quite boring derby, blah blah, but there's so many in 20 years time. There have been so many great moments. What about you? That just comes to mind straight away.
Yeah, I think the Origi one is just because of the way it was 0-0, 90 plus 6 minute. The way it was Pickford who fucked up. It was Origi that scored. It was just, that was just pandemonium, like 2018 that was. And then there's the Mane one. It always seems to be around Crimbo time, because obviously we love that tune, like Merry Christmas Everton, which I absolutely, one of my favourite tunes. Yeah. But one that always sticks out for me is in 2006 when we beat them 3-1 at home. Gerrard got sent off like the first 20 minutes. I think he got like 2 yellows. And then we still went on to... We still went on to win. Phil Neville scored an own goal.
Oh yeah,
Garcia scored a lovely little lob over Wright, and Kuehl scored that belted as well. They scored towards the end with Kale. But yeah, that one. I think it was because I was watching it in a pub, and I was watching it with like loads of Everton fans, and Gerrard got sent off early. And of course, they were like, "Oh, we're going to win this one. This is our one." And then we still ended up beating them without our captain and our best player.
Yep.
That one always comes straight to mind, even though it maybe weren't the best game in terms of quality, but I just, that one always just springs out to me because of who I was with and how the game kind of panned out. But like you said, there's so many. We're lucky to have so many good memories against them. Obviously, they hate us and they haven't beat us too often. They beat us in a stadium with no fans. So that one doesn't count. So that's clear as day. That one doesn't count. But there's just so many, isn't there, that we can... That you can discuss, but yeah, let's talk about this one then. Because what are you feeling going into this one then? Because like I said, it feels like it's been an age since we played against Brighton and we drew 2-2, and we've discussed like the season so far and the amount of like away games we've had that have been difficult, and there's been some tricky home games and stuff. And going into this one, I think it's again, it's another early kickoff after international break, which again isn't ideal, but. When you play Everton at home, it doesn't matter when it is. It's always a massive game, and it's always exciting, isn't it? Especially when you're flying over as well, so we can enjoy some bevvies together.
The feelings going into this game is obviously, it's good in a way because, what happening is Tottenham, and we've been through that. And then we obviously, managed to turn the game around against Brighton away. But then, you know, lost the game in one way, even though we didn't lose the points. But you know what I mean? I think, you know, where Everton are at the moment in the table and as a team, you know, they've done a little bit better. I hope that it's just something that, you know, will be in our favour, because now they think they are moving a bit, and, you know, we can actually, you know, show up and beat them and get them back, you know, into the ground and know where their place, if you like. But, you know, I got a good feeling, not only because I'm flying over, it's just because, you know, it's been an international break. We've been informed. We have great players, you know, that have been performing since the start of this season. We can still do better and develop, obviously. But I just think that we have so much more quality in our team in comparison to them, without, you know, taking away anything from, you know, I never want to be disrespectful, because it's always come back and biting the ass. But I just have a good feeling, because it's a derby, it's Anfield, and, you know, we usually tend to have great games against them and come away with the points. I've got this positive feeling, and I'm just looking forward to it being a derby. And I know, obviously, that there's quite big differences in, you know, quality. So I back us to go and win this. I wouldn't say easily, but, you know, with a great performance, especially now coming back with the two results that I was talking about, to know that we have to start again now at Anfield to kick off the season even one more time.
Yeah, I think the way we've played the five away games and then three home games so far, I think we've done so well, and especially coming back after an international break, it's not ideal with players like Darwin Nunes who's playing against Brazil, and I think McAllister, their game kicked off like 3 a.m. last night, and it's just like, it's not ideal at all coming back into this one, especially when you've got an early kickoff and it's, you've got to try and fly players back over, have them do a couple of maybe light sessions, and then like, all right lads, go and try and do 90 minutes for us. It is difficult, especially when you've got, well, I guess that's the perks and the downfalls of having so many good players that are also South American. We do love a South American player, but that they're the downfalls, I guess, that they have to travel so far in terms of distances. But I'm looking back at last season's game where we beat them, because I went to that one as well. We beat them 2-0 at home. Salah and Gakpo played, and that was even at that stage, they nearly scored. With the Salah goal, they hit the post. We went down the other end and hit them on the counter. Hopefully, hopefully a more smoother game than that. I feel like, because the way they've been playing, obviously they won the last game, but they're currently on 7 points. Speaking to Everton fans that I know, they're just kind of like completely disillusioned the way it's going. Of course, ownerships and whatever's going on off the field, of course, doesn't help them, but they've still got some good players that we need. Of course, the old cliche, the form book goes out the window, or like how good a team it kind of evens the playing field a little bit in terms of coming up against Everton. But in terms of the lineup then, because I'm going to have a quick look at how we played against Brighton. So we had Alisson in goal, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Robertson, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Elliott, Salah, Nunes, Diaz. So of course, Andy Robertson, we still don't know what's going on with him. Unfortunately, it looks like, probably I'm just going to fear the worst. Yeah, dislocated shoulder. So that could be, if he needs surgery, it could be a couple of months. If not, it still might be a month or two. So he's going to be out for a while. McAllister's, like I said, played early hours of this morning. So that's going to be a tricky one, especially after the Wolves game where he did the same thing. He played against Bolivia at a high altitude with having to take on oxygen canisters and whatever. And then he played, then he was knackered, got dragged off pretty early. Diaz, Nunes. So there's quite a few questions to discuss. But what are you thinking for this one?
You know, when you put all those, you know, international games abroad and far abroad, you know, in perspective, and you're thinking about who's going to start, and with the history of what we saw McAllister was performing, you know, last time, like you mentioned, it's a tough one, because in one way you want him to play, obviously, because, you know, I think he's classy. I think he should play a little bit further up the pitch, but, you know, you want to have him on the pitch because he's got quality. But it's also the question of, you know, will he have a bad performance again due to being away, playing, you know, weird times and not having the time to actually, you know, be, you know, fresh again for this derby? Because there will be a fight, I think, because Everton, you know, without saying they don't have quality, but we have more quality players. What they can do is come out and fight, and that's what we need to do as well. So I don't know. We got Gravenberch, you know, not playing for the Haiti national team now. You know, so he might just be fresh to maybe to be able to start, but also, you know, he's quite new. So I think it's a difficult one. And you know, Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones, who would be playing in the midfield, but obviously with Robertson out, are we looking for, in the way and the system we play, we're looking for a central defender coming in to play on that left-hand side to be able to go in and be the, you know, three line of a back three if we're going forward with Trent going up. So I think this is a little bit difficult one. Or will we go with Tsimikas? You know, it's one of them. What we will do, obviously, now with a vital player like Robertson out. But I just got a feeling that, you know, Klopp will trust McAllister anyway and go with him. So it will be Szoboszlai, McAllister, and maybe Curtis Jones. I don't know. What do you think?
Jones is still out, isn't he? Red card.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah, of course.
Three games.
Of course.
Unfortunately, yeah. So Jota's back, but Jones will still be out until... Oh, God, how many... So he's missed the Brighton game and he missed this one, so he'll miss the...
Yeah, I mixed
the game as well, and then he'll be
I mixed it up with Jota, to be honest. That's what I was thinking. You know, Jones, Jota, quite similar. You know,
I think I keep being surprised that Konate is back fit and John Matip is still not surprised, because I have been, I guess, pleasantly surprised by how good John Matip's been in these games. And I think the fact that he's keeping Konate, a fit Konate, out of the side is a testament to how good John Matip's been, I guess. Because I think we all assumed when Konate was back fit and ready, he goes straight back in. And that hasn't been the case. So fair play to Matip. And every time we do these preview shows, I always think Konate is going to go straight back in, and he hasn't been going back in so far. So I think maybe he's just going to go Matip again. So maybe it'll be Trent, Matip, Van Dijk. And I do like the idea of Gomez, and I think on paper it works. I think theoretically it works, because if you're putting Trent into a double pivot six, or just letting him reign free in there a little bit into the midfield, then pushing Matip over, pushing Van Dijk over, then pushing Gomez over into a three. Yeah. I think it does work, but I just feel like he will go Tsimikas. I've just got a feeling he's just gonna go Tsimikas in there.
Yeah, because this might be the wrong game to try something, even if it's, you know, quite, you know, far between the teams in the table, and you know what we've seen so far this season in performance from Liverpool and Everton. You know, it will be the wrong game to try to do some, you know, experiments to try to figure something new out because of Robertson being out. So it might be just safe to play with Tsimikas, because we know he can play left back. He is the left back. He can come in and do the job if we go three, you know, when we're going forward in the as a back three. So I got that feeling as well. But I like your idea of, you know, having Gomez going in there to be able to, you know, have that back three when we're going forward. It feels a little bit safe. It feels quite physical good and, you know, good on in the air as well. So I wouldn't mind it, to be honest. But I don't think it will happen. But it might be something that we'll see further on, obviously, because of Robertson being out for that long. But midfield-wise, obviously, I mentioned Jones, he's out. But what do you see in midfield then? Because... obviously, with the players being away playing all those games, you don't want to see someone come in like McAllister did last time and not perform well, because then you need to make a substitution. It's a waste of time and waste of quality at that time as well, because obviously you need someone that is 100%, you know, to play that position in midfield.
Yeah, I think if I'm sure they'll have a discussion with McAllister, like, oh yeah. Are you sure you're all right this time? Are you sure you're going to be okay to me? At least do 60 or like to a good level. I think being at home helps, of course. I think it's
simple. But would you start him or even have him like you're coming on later on if we need to? We you know, that's the thing. Because if you start him and it's underperformance for the first 20 minutes, you would be like, fucking hell, we need to take him off anyway. And then we kind of use the substitution that is just unnecessary because we thought it was all right to play.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think if you're... He needs to be honest with Klopp and say if he's not ready, then he needs to be on the bench. But I think if he's ready, I think he does start for me. I think it'll be McAllister in the six, and then you'll put Szoboszlai on the right, and hopefully you'll see Gravenberch on the left. I think if McAllister isn't ready, then I think it's just a swap him off for Endo. I think it's pretty, in my eyes, it's pretty straightforward. I don't know. I think with the way we played last against Brighton, we were a bit different in terms of our setup and whatever, but we mentioned about Elliot maybe not being the best as a starter. I always do prefer him coming off the bench, especially when we need a bit more energy towards the last maybe 20 minutes of the game and stuff. So I think Maka, Szoboszlai and Gravenberch would be against an Everton side who've got some good midfielders. I think they'll do well against them, especially they're going to be fighting. So our lads need to know that they need to fight fire with fire. And I think those three, and even if you swap McAllister out for Endo, he'll be thrown in tackles and whatever. But then again, he needs to be careful because they'll be trying to get players sent off early doors like they always do. So there's a fine balance to try and strike there. But I think we've got enough options in there that we can. There's going to be enough quality in there, whatever we do, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't mind a midfield three of McAllister and Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, because that's what I want to see. You know, obviously now, like I said, Jones is out, so then we've seen him actually doing well since he, you know, started to play regular in that position. So in the future, you know, he's someone that will be probably, you know, playing as well because of his, you know, how he press and how he, you know, he's on the ball and all that. He's very good, actually. I think it's great to see those steps, but now obviously we have to consider he's out. But to see those three that I just mentioned, it's so much quality in terms of driving the ball forward. It's passing ranges, it's, you know, shots from outside, it's physicality because they are all strong. Even if McAllister is small, he's, you know, he's good with the ball and safe with the ball. Obviously, he needs to be a little bit better because we've seen him maybe having troubles in that position. But I think, you know, as long as Klopp just think that he can play there, obviously that's fine. But I'm with you as well. If he's not fit, then who would play there? And then obviously we got Endo, and you know, how long will he stay outside the team if he's actually bought in to play in that position where other players are not available or fit to play there? So it is a question of, you know, I kind of excites me not to know what we're going to do, because sometimes you just know who, you know, who's going to play, but because of the circumstances of playing games far away and coming back and you know, who's going to start, because we need to be perfectly fit, it kind of excites me because you don't have a clue who's going to start. So
well, I think that's what we've, in the past, we've always kind of known if we're playing like a big game or a derby, you always know exactly what the 11's going to be. And I think internationals don't help, because I would love to be none, because then we would have a fresh McAllister, a fresh Nunes, a fresh Diaz, etc., etc. But yeah, like you said, the midfield there is, I think the way that we can talk about these players who are 90% of them are new players, and the fact that we can talk about them in these type of glowing words is a testament to how good they've came in and how good they've been since they've started the very early start of the Liverpool career. So it's good problems to have, definitely. And then the front three is again difficult, because we don't know. Obviously, Klopp's press conference, hopefully you'll give us some good news regarding maybe Bicetic might be back. You mentioned something about Thiago last time. I'm not going to hold my breath, though, as much as I love Thiago. We don't know yet. Nah. You said Gakpo might be available, but we don't know either, on that one either. So there's a few players that we can... Hopefully there's a few nice surprises. Hopefully Gakpo's fit. Hopefully maybe for the bench. I don't know. So, and then there's just question marks on whether... The same with McAllister, what condition the front three are going to come back in, like the likes of Nunes playing again early hours of this morning against Brazil and stuff, and Diaz. So it's a tricky one, isn't it? But what would you go with?
I'd probably go with, you know, obviously with Darwin Nunes. I just want him to start, because I think, you know, he's someone they will have difficulties with, you know, to play against because of his speed and his physically strong is always good. Obviously he's been away now playing as well, but then obviously with Diaz and Salah, you know, I just think it's a lot for them to handle, you know. So I wouldn't, you know, we talked about Jota and we, you know, all that kind of stuff as well, but I just see, you know, that front three with speed, physicality and, you know, creativity. It's something that, you know, no one wants to play against. And I want to come out and go against them straight away with those players. That would be my front three, I guess.
Yeah, I think the only thing for me would be maybe start Jota, because he doesn't get as many minutes as I think he should for Portugal. So maybe you go Jota, you risk Nunes, and then you go Salah, because we know Salah's a machine anyway. He can play. Doesn't matter what condition he comes back from international break, he's always ready to go anyway. So even if you went Jota, Nunes, and Salah, and then you kept, hopefully, Gakpo, who's going to be fit, and you have Diaz on the bench as well, even on, I guess, if you need to at half time or on 60, you bring, if you can bring on a Diaz and a Gakpo, that is, that can terrify any defence, can't it? Like you said, because of the creativity and the ability on the ball and be able to create stuff. So there's, again, there's options to be had, and even like you could switch it up and maybe put Elliot on there somewhere. Like there's players in there that you can bring on with half an hour to go, either to see the game out, hopefully, because we'll be 2-0 up at that point on 60 minutes. Or you can bring players on to, if it's like a bit of a nervy game, which hopefully it won't be, then we can just add to the creativity at the top of the pitch. So there's plenty of options, isn't there?
Yeah, and you know, that's great. And like you said, we will see with Gakpo, you know, what kind of state he's in. But you know, I don't think, obviously, being out, injured, coming back, you know, I don't think he would start. But if he's on, he's fit and on the bench, obviously that's great as an option to bring on if needed. But I don't want to risk him, you know, because we know that we will need him going forward anyway. So if, you know, Darwin Núñez now played, obviously, with Uruguay and he's been playing for us and he's doing it well, I think, you know, start him. Like you said as well with Jota, you know, I just like, you know, that Diaz starts, you know, to make defenders tired with all his, you know, speed and the way he just keep on working hard, you know, going at them all the time, which makes it makes more sense to me to bring on Jota later on in the game, because then, you know, with his little smartness in terms of popping up in, you know, areas, what we said before, you know, to finding a goal and all that kind of stuff, because then you've got defenders being tired and he's being fresh. And I think he's more of a clever thinking player than Luis Diaz. You know what I mean? Like, I think he kind of sees the game in another way and know where to find space. He's just got that, you know, ability to, you know, where to be, when to drive forward, where to pass the ball into space and all that kind of stuff. So if he comes in on fresh, say in minute 60, for example, and he can play against a little bit more tired Everton defenders and being clever with finding areas and balls into Darwin Núñez, if he's still on the pitch or whoever, I think that's a clever idea, because Luis Diaz got this way of just fucking making sure that, you know, he's just running at the defenders all the time. So I think that's a tactical view as well. But, you know, I'm not against you saying, obviously, Jota might start, because, like I said, he's a clever player. So he will do his job and do great things. And it's great to bring Diaz on as well, because he got the power to then just continue. But I think with, like, just the way of reading a game and looking at the game, I think Jota got another sense where, okay, he can be a more of a match winner, you know, in, say, minute 85 than Luis Diaz, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of options, which is always, it's always nice to have, especially with the way the summer went with players leaving and players surprising us with leaving. The fact that we've got these options, I think, is something that we need to, I don't know, I think cherish might be like a bit of a strong word, but like just be like amazed that we've got these amount of good players and just be like, yeah, Klopp's done an absolutely boss job getting these fellas in and getting them to a level already where if we win the early kickoff, we go by one goal, I think we go top of the league, or even if we win by two, we definitely go top of the league. And it's little things like that.
Then we got to celebrate.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if 2-3-0, we go and we can go and celebrate. Of course, Man City play Brighton at 3, so we know our last game. We know Brighton are a good side, and we know De Zerbi, and we know how good they are. So, I mean, and the way City have been playing, like missing Rodri and other players, like they're in a bit of a weird state, I guess, in terms of recent form, like losing two on the bounce for first times for 5 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get on. Chelsea are playing Arsenal. Chelsea are at home. So there's plenty of teams playing other good teams this weekend. So it's a good opportunity for Liverpool to go and put down a nice little marker against Everton early doors, batter them, hopefully go top of the league, and then hopefully some other teams around us drop points. So it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and I can't wait to actually see, you know, Szoboszlai, you know, from the stands.
In the flesh. Anfield. Yeah,
exactly. Just to hopefully just with this fucking screamer as well in top corner. It's fucking, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to. Just, you know, hanging around the necks of my brother and you. Just fucking, you know, getting in there. You know, I'm really thrilled to, you know, actually see, you know, McAllister, Szoboszlai, like the new boys. Obviously, I'm always thrilled to see Liverpool play because, you know, it's a privilege to do that. But, you know, to see the new boys, especially when you have someone like Szoboszlai who just took us by storm, you know, being great from the start, you you want to see those players, you know, like you said, live from the stands and see how they move, because obviously it's different from TV angles and what you see, but you see them on the pitch in a different way when you're there. I'm looking forward to that. And obviously it's always nice to be, because I think when I've been to Anfield the last couple of times, I think Darwin Núñez always scores. So I'm looking forward to be there and he can score again. So let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, when you came over last, I think we won both. Was it 1-0, was it? I think.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember if he scored then. But yeah, it was Fulham and Brentford at home, I think, in a week's time. And I was over for like six days. Yeah. I think we won both 1-0. So it's not the greatest, but we got 6 points and that was matters. But yeah, hopefully, you know, before that, there was, I can't remember. It's too, but yeah, but when I was over in spring, when I brought my colleague Peter, when I first like met you, we were there for Everton and Man United, and obviously we battered them totally. So hope this derby can be something, you know, in the same kind of, you know, 3-4-0 for us, and you know, screamers, great goals, great play, great celebrations, and then, you know, sing at the pub afterwards when we're top of the league for a while, I guess, and then we'll see what happens. So yeah, I can't wait for it.
Just no red cards, please. Just no red cards, no injuries.
Or any fucking VAR shit going on.
Well, hopefully they're going to be extra nice to us because the whole fuck up and whatever. And I saw like the people that were involved, like Darren England and whatever. They're now going to be back just doing the job again. Like, so basically, what? Go on, lads. You can have 2 weeks off. Wait for this to blow over. You'll have full pay. We'll take the fall for all the shit you've caused. Then you can come back in and just don't do anything stupid. It was like, it's just bound, something bound to happen again at some point. Like, I'm just waiting every game. I'm just like, come on, lads, what's going to happen this time? But just hopefully we can just take the game out of Everton's hands and the referees and get goals early doors and just like, yeah, just cruise to victory. That's what we all want. I know it's never as easy as that against Everton, but hopefully this one where we're maybe filled with like a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of anger. Of course, a derby, you've got a bit more fire in the belly anyway, but a bit more anger from like not getting the results against Spurs, and then away game, not really getting into a proper rhythm against Brighton, and then we can come back in a derby like kind of renewed after an international break and whatever, and we can just go at Everton. Because they, I mean, if we go at them with a full steam with the players we've mentioned and the how good we've been, like they shouldn't be able to handle what we've got, should they?
No, I agree with you, you know, 100%. I think, you know, that if we can go out and, you know, give it a, you know, proper fight because it's a derby, but also show the quality that we have, I think, you know, we're on top of them in terms of quality, no doubt about it. But I also think, you know, I know it's different times now compared to, you know, 10, 20 years ago, but because then back then you had Carragher and Gerrard, you know, telling all the players from other countries, you know, playing for Liverpool, how important this game is for them as local, you know, lads. So I'm thrilled also to see how, you know, Trent, probably because he's, you know, vice captain, you know, from Liverpool, how he, together with the players who are already experienced this game so many times, will, you know, inform Szoboszlai, McAllister, and, you know, the new boys, how this is such an important game for us as a, you know, derby. Even if, you know, you think about the big games against Man United because the rivalry and all that kind of stuff in terms of trophies and stuff. But this game is the local one. This is the, you know, the proper derby. This is important to just go and win. So I'm kind of looking forward to how a player like Trent goes to, you know, Szoboszlai, because they obviously became really good mates. You can see that on, you know, film clips and stuff. They seem to like each other, to actually say, this is the one, you know, you know, this is the one where no stupid things, but you know, where you go in and tackle, where you go in and fight, where you go in and just perform great, and great things happens, like Gerrard and Carragher used to do with the boys back then. You have someone have a voice that is from Liverpool and say, you know, this is why this is so important. So I'm looking forward to see how they handle that. And you know, it's a bit of a pressure, but also how they take on the game, knowing it's a derby and it will be massive for the people in Liverpool.
Exactly. I think if you can score or do something really good on your first game against Everton, I think you're always like, it's always remembered. Like Van Dijk's goal on his debut against them in the FA Cup, it was amazing. Of course, the goal Gakpo scored last season at home, that was his first goal as well, and that was against Everton. So, I mean, it wasn't the best goal, but it's like, it's one of those, like, if you score your first goal against Everton, it's always, I mean, and if Szoboszlai can just decide to turn up and go,
Everton.
If Gravenberch wants to start and get a goal as well, his first goal against Everton, that would be nice and keep the Dutch contingent scoring against Everton. keep those ratios up. So yeah. There's loads to be excited about, and that's kind of the vibe that I'm feeling. Even on like social media, of course, like people get a bit down with like Robertson injury, and apparently Doak's got an injury now and stuff, and it's easy to kind of get stuck into that and get pissed off a little bit, but like you've just got to be excited about what the players that are available and how much they're going to fight. We've seen already like Szoboszlai and McAllister, and even not even like you mentioned, not even just the new lads, but the other lads that are already there and informing the new players like how we do things and what's required and like work rate and whatever. Like everyone's been working their ass off, and I think we're always high up in those stats in terms of like balls recovered and stuff like that. So that's the type of things that we need to see from Liverpool. And I think even like, especially in a derby where emotions are even higher and the atmosphere will hopefully be, I mean, it'll be good, but I never expect amazing stuff from 12:30 kickoffs because everyone's still half asleep or just had a few too many pints the night before. But I always feel like games that you can really put yourself on like a higher level, and you can be like, right, I've shown you how good I am, but now I'm going to show you in a derby and like just proper solidify how good I am going forward as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was, like you said, you're talking about the atmosphere, you know, it's an early kickoff. I think, you know, the responsibilities, you know, from the crowd to just, you know, do whatever they can. You know, the time doesn't, you know, it shouldn't be anything that would be considered. I understand, you know, an early kickoff, you don't have the time to build up in another way. You might be a little bit, you know, tired from the Friday night or you know, doesn't matter what you have done. It's just, you know, early up in the morning, kick off quite early. You don't have time to just settle into derby mode, I guess. But, you know, it's a derby. So just, you know, go there, you know, whether you had pints or not, sing your heart out anyway. That's what I will do, you know, and I'll probably smash them the Friday night anyway. And I will just continue. I will just continue into the Saturday and get up early doors. You know, I'll probably have a little can in the hotel room early as soon as I wake up, you know, with the shower, and just head straight to Wetherspoons, I guess, because that's what probably will be open earliest. Catch up with you and have my brother with me and then go from there. And that's going to be it.
Yeah, I can't. Can't actually wait. And Jamie's just put a funny message into the group chat there. The Christian derby is almost upon us. Three more sleeps and we're there.
I love how they will rename the Merseyside derby to the Christian derby.
So that means you've got to come over for every derby at home or away if you want. So either or sound. So if we win this one, that's the thing you've got to do. You've got to come over every year for it. What do you say, sorry?
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it. Yeah, if you want to join the group chat, yeah, let us know at Copy Podcast on Twitter and Instagram as well. I nearly forgot score predictions, but we're going to have to do it again. But I'll let you go first, lad. What are you thinking?
You know, obviously because I'm over, I always want to see a score goals, but it's more obviously a little bit more special when you're there. But you know, it's a tough one, but I say 3-0 Liverpool, to be honest. I think we just go win it, because I just got this feeling that, like I said, if we get into the game straight away and we got this flow about it, we got too much quality for them to handle. And I think we get the first, like, 1-2 goal in the first half, if we can. Then the third, we just come in the second half and it's done and dusted.
I was thinking 2-0, to be honest, but I just know what's going to happen now. We're going to be 2-0 up with like 10 minutes to go, and then Darwin Nunez is going to pop up with like a little cheeky goal towards the end, and you're going to be like, yes, we won, and also I'm fucking right again. I'm going to stick 2-0, because I feel like, yeah, derbies are always just a prickly games, and I don't know, it's one of them games, I love them and I hate them at the same time, because I'm always like, no matter how good Liverpool are doing, like I always just worry that Everton are just going to turn up for one game, and even just getting a draw would be a bad result for us, because of how bad they are and how we need the points at this moment in time. So I think, yeah, a 2-0. I just think
playing at home just in this time and, you know, where we are at the moment and how we've been playing from the start, I think just gives me this little belief that we will go and do it. I wouldn't say easily, but we will do it, you know, in a great performance, because if it was away, you know, it will be a totally different feeling from my end.
I don't know why I'm thinking clean sheet, because I say every single fucking week I'd never fancy us to keep a clean sheet, but I just feel
I should just go 3-1 again, to be honest.
No, you can't change that. 3-0. Let's both positive energy, both going for clean sheet. So yeah, you can go 3-0 too.
Yeah.
And like we always say, if you want to join the group chat and join in with the group chat prediction league, then yeah, let us know and we can add you to it. But yeah, we'll leave it there. That has been the Everton match preview. Looking ahead to what will hopefully be a massive game on Saturday, early kickoff against the old Ev. So hopefully the Reds can go and do it and absolutely hopefully beat them by more than two and three, like we've said. Hopefully it's even more than that, and we can celebrate properly going into the 3 o'clock kickoffs, and hopefully there's some more good results for us. But yeah, as always, thanks to Christian for jumping on. Always appreciate it. We'll be doing hopefully a show, like not a live show, but like a show in a pub, having a little chat. Hopefully we'll do that maybe on the Saturday or the Sunday, but we'll let you know. Nice one to everyone for listening. We always appreciate it, as I always say. So yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Appreciate it. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Podcast Network.